Blog Talk Radio.
We want to welcome y'all to Two Wise Women Show.
That's right.
J. Neal and Dr. Lamar.
Let's go.
Yeah. Hey, 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 hey.
Two wise women. J. Neal. Yeah. Two wise women. You know Dr. That. Lamar. Two wise women. You better pay attention. J. Neal and Dr. Lamar. Two wise women.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. I am Jay Dia of You Are Worthy.
And this is Dr. Lamar with the Wise Inc.
And we want to welcome you to the show. We have a treat for you this morning. Last show we had wives on, and they were talking about what every wife should know about marriage. And we've had a great response to that show, and the wives and women were requesting that we get the opposite perspective, the opposite viewpoint. So this morning we will have husbands on the show, men's perspective on marriage. One of the things that I've been teaching are these topics on dating and mating. And the last topic that I was teaching was about what has a woman be the right woman for marriage. And I think a lot of women are interested in being married, and sometimes they're not really sure what men are paying attention to. So the best thing to do is get it from the viewpoint of a man. And so that's what our show is about today. So, Dr. Lamar, are you ready to take it live?
Absolutely. I'm ready for you. Just waiting on you. We have an outstanding panel. I am so excited about the panel that we have this morning, but we'll let them introduce themselves.
Good morning. My name is Neil Walker. I am a educational coordinator for the Boys and Girls Club. I've had an experience in married life, and I'm glad to be on the show to share my perspective.
Good morning. My name is Minister Robert S. Willis. I am the owner and operator of Dr. Shine, She Shines Care Specialist in Atlanta, Georgia, and I am also married and enjoy being married, and look forward to, giving my perspective from a husband's point of view, and I always like to hear what the ladies got to say so we all know what to do as men.
And I think we have one other person.
Yes. Did you hear me? Minister Robert S. Willis of Atlanta. Okay, I'm sorry.
Yes,
yeah,
I heard you.
Okay.
I think I see Jordan. Are you on the line?
Yes, I'm here. I'm here.
Okay.
This is Jordan. I'm from Seattle, Washington. And I'm a divorcee of 25 years. So I was married for 25 years, 23 years, put it like that. And that's it.
So thank you all for being on the show. And if there are other husbands or ex-husbands on the show, just press 1 and we'll get you in the queue as we begin our session. So the first thing that I want to start off with is, what were the things that you were considering when it came to marriage? Like, what were the things that you were looking for in a woman and the woman that became your wife?
Well, this is Minister Willis. Me, myself, I grew up in a home where, you know, we had the ladies. They weren't dominant, but they were ladies. So as a child, that's what you expected. You know, you want to emulate your grandmother and your mom and have a woman that reminds you of her. Not necessarily in that era where they were just at home cooking and doing that, but just a lady. You wanted somebody that you could proudly carry on your arms at any time of day and anywhere.
This is Neil Walker. When I did get married, I was looking for a woman And quite honestly, to love the Lord more than she loved me. And I felt if I can have that first and foremost, that would probably be a good start for me in terms of making a marriage work.
This is Jordan from Seattle. I got married young, so I didn't really have any, I guess, ambitious expectations like the other two guys have. You know, I was just caught in a situation where my ex-wife was, we just had a son. He was, I think, a couple of months old at the time, and, you know, and I felt pressured, and I just did it. It wasn't no romantic, you know, no romantic sighting or anything like that. I just, I got caught up in a situation where I felt like it was the man thing to do.
And that is very commendable.
Well, let me go back. This is Neil again. Let me say this to you, George. My situation wasn't too much different from yours. I wasn't rushed into a marriage because of the child on the way, but I had just recently got saved. So the life that I was looking to lead, that's what I was looking for. My life as an athlete, most of my life playing ball and different things, being in touch with the ladies or women was never an issue, but I needed to change my lifestyle, the way I was living. Thus, that was what I was looking for to move into marriage. I knew I couldn't go into a marriage with the same practices and habits I've had as a single young man, as a single man. So, again, that was the answer. I said, you know, at that time, since that time, I've come to understand some other things, and I guess we'll share that later on in the show.
Thank you, and I'm interested in knowing, especially to the two men that are now divorced, that meant that you've gone through a marriage. What are you looking at now, like, that would have you do it again? Because some men go, I'm never going to do that again. And then there are men who go, I will, but what is it that will have you say that she's the one? So let me pull up and let you answer the question.
I think for me, this is Jordan again. I think for me, it's a few factors that's involved. The first time around, it's, you know, more like, you know, you see what it is, you see where we're wrong, and then you try to, you know, if you ever get in that situation again, you won't make the same mistake twice. But the woman has to be she has to be compatible to me, you know, in all areas, because the one thing I learned from being married for a long time is that, you know, the relationship sometimes can go stale. So if you two guys don't have a lot in common, then that can, you know, come in between, you know, the relationship sometimes. So for me, compatibility is key. The second thing is her being confident within herself. You know, I'm not an exterior type of guy, but I want her to not let herself go. You know, like right now, the example, my ex-wife, you know, when I met her, she was, you know, tall, 6'2", slim. You know, and now it's 30 years later and she's, you know, 300 pounds, you know. And you know, it's just those type of things because I'm telling you, and I think the fellas will agree with me on this one. You know, when they get out of shape and, you know, and you know, it's just like, come on now, you know, come to the gym with me, you know. And they just steady eating the biscuits and the gravy, and they, come on now, you know, because I didn't sign up for this. I ain't signed up for you to be 300 pounds. You know, no matter what a guy say, they want their woman to look good. You know what I mean? Even into the 80s, they want them to look good. So that's just me. You know, I'm just putting it out there like that.
This is Mel Gibbons, and I can totally agree with that. And I also want to let it be known that I am a, I have, you know, been previously married, and actually I'm into my third marriage, which I feel is my cellmate because my wife and I went to school together. And, you know, when I was going through my changes, going through my divorce, I always had her on my mind. So when I did run into her, I felt like, you know, it was meant to be. you know, and I feel like I'm the type of man that I'm supposed to be somebody's husband. You know, 52 years old, I'm not supposed to be somebody's boyfriend. I don't want to be introduced that even when I was in my 40s, you know, hey, this Robert, this is my boyfriend and mama. No, I'm supposed to be, I'm husband material. And I feel like that lady should always just be a lady, you know. I can agree with the man, yeah, some men like area women, some men like thinner women. You know, it's a personal preference, but like, I totally agree with, take care of yourself. You know, if you're going to get your hair done every week. And the same with the gentleman. I like to look a certain way, and I have a motto, and I'm like a well-dressed man, except a good-looking woman on this side. So I can't look like a maid, and my wife looks like, you know, she just came out of Family Dollar. So we have to nurse each other spiritually and mentally, you know, because like the gentleman said earlier, I got married to my first wife, 24 years old. We had a son and a daughter, and, you know, I was young, still smelling myself, and, you know, hey, I'm going to be honest, I cheated. You know, and I did those things, and I just, you know, as I got older and got into the church, you know, I prayed about it, and I had to let it go. And I had to find myself in order to be able to find her and be the type of husband that she needed. That was the most important thing for me.
Okay. Well, you know what? What I want to do is, I know because we have actually four men on the line, and I don't know if I put Mr. Larry in the queue. So, Larry, you are in the queue. If you would like to talk, you're more than welcome to give us some feedback. I just wanted to acknowledge you and let you know that I put you in the queue. So if you want to speak, just jump in. And I'm so excited. You guys are doing an outstanding job. Thank you.
So this is very good information that we're listening to.
Mm-hmm.
So here's another question. What surprised you most about being married? Like the benefit of marriage?
For me, this is noticeable. Just having that person that you was able to, you know, I expect to be married to my first wife forever, you know, because I mean, we dated all through high school. And like I said, was married for 15 years. And, you know, you look forward to it. But I say, when you grow up in that situation, and I'm quite sure you ladies know, I know definitely Dr. Labar, you know, we grew up in a family-type atmosphere, and that's what you want. You emulate what you see and what you know. You know, even the bad things from growing up, you know, you see uncles, dads, and the granddads, you're going to emulate some of that. You might be a good husband, a good provider, but it's going to be something, whether it's drugs, alcohol, or being a cheater, or, you know, even an abuser, which I strongly am against, you know, but you emulate what you see growing up, and that's what you want in your household, I think. So, you know, it's not perfect, but that's what you get sometimes.
JD, this is Neil. I can't speak on this subject too much. I did want to go back and ask the other one, but I don't want to throw off the flow of the show because, unfortunately, I got married, and a month later, my wife's mother went home to be with the Lord, and that devastated her. She was, you know, raised in a single-family home and really didn't know her father well, so she lost her mother, best friend. That was the whole world. Her family informed her, you can't go to New York and live with him. You don't know him. So she moved to Baltimore for 3.5 years before contacting me to try to come back to New York. And at that point, I went to therapy counseling, whatever, and I wasn't ready to take her back, but she was my wife, so my pastor told me, she's your wife. Well, it took a year for that to happen, more or less, to get back. And when we came back, we were like roommates. And a year later, I had a major deal. I was in real estate. I had a major deal in Georgia. I went to Georgia to work the deal. And I never went back. And 2 years later, we got divorced. So for 7 years, I was married. But I never experienced marriage.
Mm.
I really didn't. So that's the answer. I can't answer this question. But at some point, you know, if I can go back and touch on that other piece, because I think the thing I've learned over the years, I had to see what I did wrong in any of those situations to be better and to look forward to a wife going forward. So,
So let me ask this then, because one of the things, there was this video on Facebook that was trending about disrespectful black women. And Lamar has a program on how to be a wife and not a knife. And I'm wondering, how difficult is it to lead when your wife is disrespectful or controlling?
Good question.
This is Minister Willis. I think that's very, very hard, you know, because I can speak, you know, like I say, speaking for myself personally, you know, not that I want to be the dominant male or the dominant person in that marriage, but as a man, you know, you feel that way. I grew up in a single-parent home, and I saw how my mama, you know, how she did things and cared. So you want to be that provider. That's what I consider myself. I'm a provider. I'm going to protect my wife in any way I can. I'm going to protect my family any way I can, wrong or right. I have said, I tell my friends, my wife's going to be dead wrong, but I will not let you treat her any kind of way. I will not let you talk to her any kind of way. I can get her out of that situation, and I can come back to you the next day and say, hey, doc, hey, sister, I'm sorry about what happened last night. You have two choices. You can tell me, well, I forgive you and I understand, or you can say me and my wife both can go jump off a bridge. You don't want to be bothered with it anymore. But either way, I'm going to protect my wife first and foremost, dead, right, or wrong. So I saw that growing up in so many ways. You know, like I said, I saw a lot of good and a lot of the bad stuff. But in perspective, you want to be able to be that man and look in the mirror and say, well, regardless of who makes the most money, you want to be able to say, well, you know, that you, not, I'm trying to get it the right way. Not that, you know, it's about me and I'm all macho, but it's just a feeling that knowing that, okay, your wife, even if she's making more money, will still come to you and say, well, babe, I want to, how about, what you think about doing this or doing that? So she's giving you that opportunity to take that lead. A lot of brothers won't take it because a lot of brothers are inferior to that woman making more money than him. And so that causes problems right there. So I think if that wife is, if she's giving that brother that lead and giving him the opportunity to step up and take the plate and say, okay, well, I am the man of the house, I'm the leader, then that's what you'll get. I preached this sermon a couple of months ago, and I just made a joke and I said it, because if Adam had taken the lead and told Eve not to bite the apple, then, you know, he would have took the role of the man of the house. But not only did he not do that, he also blamed God by saying, this woman that you gave me, you know, in so many ways, he was putting the blame on God as well. So he didn't want to accept the responsibility even in the beginning of being that head of the house or head of the world, or head of the nation, however you want to put it. So that's what he would have been, our forefather. So that's what a lot of us won't do, you know, and a lot of us haven't been trained in that way.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to chime in on this.
Thank you.
This is Neil. I agree with some of what he's saying. But I think that's probably that was one of the pieces I wanted to say, the things I learned. You know, dating to me is something that I don't do. And I look at it two ways. I think philosophically, when you're dating, you're just kind of practicing divorce, because if it doesn't go right with this woman, and then you're going to go to another date. And I mean, that pattern of behavior doesn't work for me. So I say that to say also, I think the thing that we don't do, because I got friends for 40 years or so now, and I got a bunch of ex-girlfriends. The thing I've learned over the years, you know, I believe that my next marriage is going to be a good friend of mine. Because I really believe that just like friendships, they grow over a period of time. You have to grow a marriage.
Amen.
But what's better than your friend? So the traditional way that I've been going about things for most of my life, you see someone, you're kind of attracted to her, that doesn't work for me no more. And I think when you do that, you get to know someone quite well. So that disrespectful woman, that can't happen. Because even as a friend, I'm not tolerating my friendships. So the same rules I have across the board for friendships and business is going to be the same way in my marriage. It's the same principles across the board.
Amen. I agree with that totally.
So I want to tune into the question a little more in that how, because the question is, how difficult is it to lead when a woman is being disrespectful? Because once she's your wife, like you, because it will show up at some point, I think, in a marriage relationship. And I'm wondering what happens for you as a man when now your vows are saying till death do we part, and thereby now she's behaving disrespectfully. What happens for you in that instance?
Eventually, you will either start disrespecting her, you will lose respect for her, you will treat her differently in public and in private, because, I mean, regardless, married or not, like the gentleman just said, anytime someone takes away your manhood or your womanhood, because, you know, you're an adult, you couldn't wait to be an adult today to say, well, I'm an adult. And when somebody challenged that, and like you said, in a relationship or in a marriage, you kind of deal with it for a while until it gets to a point to where, you know, it's just like that old saying, you know, if I got to curse you out or put my hands on you or call you out your name, I don't need to be with you. So if I got to be disrespectful to you or allow you to be disrespectful to me, it's hard for us to be together. You know, we can't do it. And I know over the years men have done that, but, it, you know, when you get it from a woman, it just don't seem ladylike that a lady would be, you know, would disrespect herself or her mate, her husband, in public or in private. And that, and it's, well, man, it is hard to deal with. That's a hard pill to swallow.
Okay. Jordan, do you want to pipe in on this question, or you're awfully quiet over there?
No, I'm trying to work out and do this at the same time. Yeah, my thing with, first of all, you have to, if you're in a situation like that, you have to have the confidence. If she's being disrespectful, and I was in a situation like that when I was going through my divorce, you know, our marriage became sour at the end, and there was a lot of bad things that happened at the end of that. And so she was disrespectful, but at the time I didn't have the mindset that I have now. I wanted to save it. I wanted to you know, do the things to keep it going. And I was just caught in what I call a mental prison, where I was just an inmate of my own doing, you know. And then once that went away and I was able to, you know, because I'm from New York, but I wanted to get as far away from as possible, so now I'm in Seattle. And so you just got to have the confidence, you know, and moving forward for me, you know, the confidence is there. No woman can ever put me in a position to where, you know, if you're being disrespectful, cool, do your thing, you know. And that's the mindset that you got to have. You know, you have to have your ducks in a row, your eyes crossed, your eyes dotted. You got to have everything, because when it happens, you got to be prepared, because if you don't, you're going to be a lost soul. You're going to be wanting to do things that you'll never find yourself doing, you know. And some things, sometimes with some people, it leads to drastic stuff like homicide, suicide, you know. So it can go into any other range if you're not prepared. And I think my whole thing is you just have to be prepared and have the confidence. Well, if it happens, then, you know, keep it going. Keep it moving. Yo, go ahead, do your thing, you know. So that's my take on that.
Yeah.
Okay.
I like
Neil, were you going to say something? Okay.
Yeah, just a little bit, because I agree with it. I think the way I would have reacted years ago is totally different from now. I think over the years, I've learned a few things to establish support system, because, you know, life presents you with issues that don't necessarily agree on you. I think what the first brother was saying, you know, you're a little wounded at first. And for me, anytime I get that type of feeling, I gotta step away. I got to go to the mountains. I got to do something. I got to separate myself from that situation, because the immediate feeling of disrespect from someone supposed to be really that close to you, I want to say something, but it hurts. But I've established support systems and some people to talk to, because, again, at the end of the day, I'm trying to get counsel from two or three people. So we're in the midst of the counsel, there's safety. So I'm always going to ask someone that's been a little wiser, go to someone else I respect and get some counsel before I even respond. So that's how I've programmed my life to be. So I think when that situation comes, if it were to come in a marriage, I'd be better prepared to handle it. And at the end of the day, you know, I'm probably going to try at some point to find out where it's really coming from, what's the root of it. And I think that's just from my counseling background and just other issues, other areas of my life, to try to find out if we are born and we're wanted, that's coming from somewhere. It didn't just pop up just all of a sudden.
Wow. Wow. You know what,
wow,
Neil?
That's very good. Yeah. Go ahead, Dr. Mark.
Yeah, you Thank you. You just made a really, really good point, and I think sometimes that's something that we miss. We miss the part that where is this stemming from? Nothing comes from nothing. And oftentimes when you're in a relationship and something is happening, and not that, you know, just to assume for the ladies, but sometimes it's coming for fear, a fear that someone can't protect or can't provide. Sometimes it's coming from a learned behavior, like that's how they learn how to protect themselves. So that was a really good point. So it's really important to get to the root of it, to figure out why is my lady disrespecting me. But this is what I would like to do. We have a lot of callers on the line, and I know there's a lot of ladies on the line, a lot of men on the line. And I just want to say this before JD go to the next question. If you have a question that you would like to ask a husband or ex-husband, press 1. Now, they're only going to give you their perspective. They can't speak for all men. And so if you have a question and somebody has a TV or something is clacking in the back, so if you could just put your phone on mute until you're ready to speak, because there's a lot of feedback coming through the phone. But, again, I would like to turn it over to anybody that's on the call, any women or any men that would like to pose a question for the men that we have here on the call, because we have some very wise men on the call, and I would like you to be able to get your answers, your questions answered or your comments in. So, again, JD, I'll turn it over to you to ask your next question. And ask one of those juicy questions that we got off of Facebook.
They all are juicy, girl. Okay, so now, because one of the things that Dr. Lamar and I have been discussing and noticing is that men can take a lot, but disrespectful behavior is unacceptable. Like, and so that's why my next question has to do is a follow-up, which is, what does it mean that, I'm sorry, how does disrespectful behavior affect your sexual desire for your wife?
Ooh,
that's a good one.
Or for your partner.
I'm sorry, yeah, I'm from your partner.
Okay. Lamar, go for it. I'll wait.
That's a good one. Okay, jump in now. Somebody say something.
All right, I'm about to say something. So for me, it's a non-issue because my whole mindset is, you know, okay, what did she do with the next guy? You know what I mean? That's my whole face. Like, okay, you know what? That's it. You know what I mean? I'm treating you like garbage from here on in. You know, it's nothing there. I mean, it's a total disregard for your relationship. It's total disrespect. So why should I think? I'm not going to try to save it, you know, and I'm not going to get into a situation where, you know, I'm going to just, you know, be letting myself down. I just think that for me personally, it's a non-issue. It's a non-issue because I don't know what she did with the next guy.
You know, for me, I'm going to say it's a deal breaker because at the end of the day, you know, I see my woman as my queen, and there's a platform she sits on, and I reverence her and such. So when that comes, it kills a sex drive because now you've totally disrespected me. It means, I mean, whatever you've done to disrespect me, you're not honoring me as the head or as your man, and then I'm like, wait a minute. Now I'm completely turned off because now we went from, you know, being that person that I just adore to now you're not even threatening my manhood, but you're telling me I'm not a man in some regard. I mean, it doesn't work for the sex job because now there's no attraction. That whole lovemaking piece ain't happening because now I'm angry, I'm hurt, more hurt than anything. I'm like, wow. So what does it do for the sex job? It's a deal breaker. It's a deal breaker because it's not that loving, sensual communication you have. You know, that's still in there. Whether you forgave or not, there's still a scar. And that scar has to heal. Or that wound has to heal. And sometimes it leaves scars. And unfortunately, if you don't have the proper training to understand forgiveness or how to forgive, that there is no more sex. There's no more sex. And that's unfortunate because now we're looking at the marriage just completely being dissolved. So that disrespectful piece, I just, you know, I'm giving my piece, my point of view from a mindset, not from experience.
Wow. So okay, guys.
This is Melissa Willis.
We actually have.
Okay, wait, Natasha.
I see we have a caller, but Minister William, go ahead and respond, and then we'll pull this caller in.
I totally agree with what the gentleman said, because it's, you know, and I try to look at it from both ways and both sides, from the male and the perspective side, that, you know, that because if a man is being that way, or he's abusive to his wife, why would he expect his wife to be loving and caring, you know, at the bedroom? At the same time, if you taking my manhood, I mean, and you being disrespectful that way, I can't be that loving husband. I can't be that loving, that lover that you want and expect to be, because I'm a hold back, because I'm always remember, you know, you actually decided you was going to embarrass me in public, or, you know, in private around a group of friends. And that's like a, it's just a sharp knife, and it just pierces the skin. It pierces the heart just a little bit, but it gives you that standoffish, and I think that's what a lot of women get when it comes to men, when they say that men are not loving, or they're not this and that, because at some point in time, you disrespected that man. You took his manhood, and he felt like, well, you know what? You're not worthy of that, and I'm not going to give it to you in the same manner. That's it.
Wow. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
So this disrespect piece is huge, ladies, because there is a survey that says they asked men would they choose love or respect, and men chose respect. And they surveyed women, and women chose love. But here's the thing. It's the front of the hand and the back of the hand. A man feels if you respect him, the love is going to be there. And for women, women think if you love me, the respect is going to be there. But what I'm really hearing today, that if you disrespect a man, he's saying you're taking away his manhood. He's putting up a wall. It's like, where is the love for him? So please, lady, listen up. Dr. Lamar, pull that collar in.
Okay, so we have a caller, and what I would like for you to do, caller, with the last four numbers of 8776, introduce yourself and give your question and or your comment.
And you have 2 minutes.
Caller? Okay, so we're going to go to the next caller. We have, okay, I think that was them. Caller with
Hello?
The numbers of 8776.
Yes, can you hear me?
We can hear
yes,
you.
Yes, we can.
Yes, yes. I go by the name of King, and I was loving the conversation that's going on. And but I think it's my opinion. Just want to make a comment. My opinion is I think it all starts from the head, and the head is the man. You know, a relationship to me is like a restaurant. You know, if you go to Red Lobster, you're going to eat certain dishes. If you go to McDonald's, you're going to eat certain dishes. You can't get a Big Mac at Red Lobster, and you can't get a lobster tail at McDonald's. So relationships to me is just like that. I think that when a man is in his right place and he understands, and the women relate to this, I think the women is more, say, demanding respect, not the men. Rita Franklin said it best, R-E-S-P-E-C-T. That's what love means to me. The man wants to rule and to lead, but to rule and to lead, you have to learn humility. You know, when she come from her home, from her dad don't call her names or get upset with her, even though he may be angry. But he has love. You know, he has love. He waits. He watches. He learns how to fix the problem. And, Kings, you know, like, we don't do that all the time. And we, you know, have to be honest with it. We don't do that all the time. So a man thinks from he has two heads, the phallus and the head on the top of his head. The woman has two mouths, the vagina and her mouth. Both of them give life.
Oh, brother.
She's a born teacher. She's a born teacher. And when we don't, from my perspective, when we don't really love her like dad loved her, and then you come to the point of being a child is innocent. And that's a relationship to me. And sometimes I think we feel as I feel as a man. I used to feel as a man before I came into the understanding of. And I have two sons, and I teach them the same thing. 24 and 26, I teach them the same thing. When something is going wrong in your house, the man is the ruler and the leader. But a ruler and a leader don't mean to be a dictator. We rule with love. That's what Jesus did. And when a woman can see that and feel that, then she will give you all that respect. She will give you that honor. So I just wanted to say that because I do a radio show as well, Relationships and Sexology. I wrote two books on sex in the body of Christ. And I think that the whole thing from my perspective and point of view is this. When a problem's in a house, how do you destroy a man's house? Unless you first destroy the strong man, bind him up, tie him up. Well, then we need to take a look at how our spiritual life is, whatever we choose to worship or whatever we don't. But it's still something that we as men have to tap into. And if we're not tapping into that, then she's going to tap into whatever we're tapping into. So even in Absolutely. The bedroom, we're making love to her. Before you have your orgasm, you're giving her all, every time you thrust, pull, you're giving her all your thoughts from days and years and all this. And that's when she begins to change. So sometimes okay. when we, especially like in the church, you know, in the kingdom or in wherever we worship, you know, we sometimes replace that in the place of living in reality. I mean, no matter what, you're going to go home with her, she's going to go home with you. I say kings and queens.
Okay. Thank you very much for that, because we have a couple other callers that we want to get to. But thank you so much for your comment.
Okay, thank you.
And you're welcome. So do we want to jump to the next question first before we go to the next caller?
Yeah, and I want to take this next caller because they've been on hold for some time, and I, you know, appreciate all of the guests that are calling in, and I would like to take
okay.
the caller with the last four numbers of 7010. State your name, your question, and or your comment.
And you have 2 minutes.
If you're calling with the last four numbers of 7010, state your name and give your question and or comment.
Yo, I'm Brother. Call me Brother.
Hey, Brooks. So what's your comment or question?
Well, my comment is that I believe we have to build a woman back up to be the queen. You know, it's like chess. The woman can move anywhere. The king, she's supposed to protect the king. And see, that's what we're not doing. We're not building our women up to protect that king. You know what I mean? Yeah, we're supposed to be the head, but the woman is really the ruler. You know, we look at it in that perspective, you know. So we treat her as the head and make sure she's taken care of and, you know, and cover her, then she'll protect her king. You know, that's what we're missing out on.
Wow. I love that. Thank you.
Yeah.
Steve.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. That was a good
thank
one.
Thank you. Thank you. That was a good one. All right, listeners, we're going to go on to the next question here. And if you have a comment or a question, remember to press 1 to get into our queue. So, husband, what
yes.
does it mean when your wife trusts your decisions and support your leadership?
Mr. Willis, that means totally everything, because that means that person told that your wife, your partner, your cellmate, as the gentleman said earlier, your best friend, because that's what my wife is. She's my best friend. You know, we argue like I used to do with the boys, and we gonna make up some kind of way, whether it's going out or hanging out. But that gives you that confidence as a man to know that, you know, even if I make the wrong decision, that my wife, my cellmate, is going to stand beside me and she's going to totally believe in me. And a lot of men don't have that. A lot of boys didn't have that growing up. So to have that as a husband is just the ultimate sign of respect, the ultimate sign of respect. And she can get pretty much.
My answer is going to be very short. That's heaven on earth.
Yes,
that's heaven on earth. That's what that is. I mean, it doesn't get any better than that. I mean, because that means that the two of you are walking in agreement. That means that, you know, the two are one, and that's the scenario I believe the marriage is supposed to be about.
Hmm.
That's when you go to the moon for her. That's when you just, you know, whatever she wants, she gets. But again, you know, I think some of the other comments the other brother made it too. You know, we got to build up our women, but you know, at the same time, you know, you got to be careful in your selection. And that's where, again, at the beginning I was saying, that's why friendship to me is going to be the woman I'll marry, the one that's been my friend for a number of years, because we know each other. and there's nothing that we're afraid, because unfortunately in the world today and in the dating game and how we go about things, you're not willing to reveal. You know, for the first 6 months, you ain't really who you really are. You don't want to reveal to that person your shortcomings or your doubts or whatever it may be. And that's the game that's being played in the world, that people put on, wear the mask for so long. And then when it finally comes off, you're kind of surprised that, well, you didn't do your due diligence. You didn't take the time. And, you know, and common ground, as the brother said in the beginning, is common ground is key. You got to have common ground. And I think one of the things I learned, which is learn somebody's love language. You know, you can't bring a sister flowers all the time if she needs words of endearment. You know, and if she needs, you know, if she needs physical touch, you got to be able to hold a hand and hug. You just can't send her roses or send her cards. That's, you're not speaking her language. That's the other thing I learned. Learn your partner's love language that you can really communicate and she's hearing the love coming from you.
Wow. I, you know what? I'm just sitting on the phone and I'm just kind of listening to all of this wisdom coming from these men, and it makes me really, really happy, because I give like this scenario where, I don't know if you guys have seen the movie Gladiator, where Maximus, he's a leader. He's a leader because he was born a leader. He was trained to be a leader, and that's how we have to look at men that are leading these homes. You have to be trained to be a leader, or you have to be born to be a leader. And one of the things that it was a gentleman, he was actually the king, and he couldn't beat Maximus on his own. And so what he did was he tied Maximus up and he stabbed him, you know, a bunch of times in the waist so that he couldn't be at his strongest. And I think that's sometimes what wives do, and we don't even realize it. And I say we because I'm a wife as well. Sometimes we don't even realize that we're taking the life out of our husbands and that we're emasculating, and sometimes we don't even realize it. And when it's time for them to go out into the world to protect us, they can't protect us at 100% because we've damaged them so bad in the house and we've talked to them so bad and we have not respected them, we have not followed their leadership, to when they get out to the world, they become very weak. And so we have to look at that as well. And so I thank you all for your feedback and for your comments. But we have a caller. Last four numbers, 5687. We're going to take this. And you have 2 minutes because we have some more good questions coming. So I want you to ask your question or give your comment. And I'm going to take it down to 2 minutes. If 2 minutes you don't stop, I'm going to put you on mute so we can get to these good, juicy questions. State your name and your comment and or question, 5687.
This is Earth. This is a great show.
How you
like
doing,
that.
Brother?
This is a great show. I want to make a comment about the last question you asked. For me, if my woman, you know, trusts and believes in what I'm saying, and she's backing that, that's great. I mean, that's phenomenal. However, I'm a conversationalist. I like to have conversations, and I don't want my woman to blindly follow me. I just don't want that at all. That doesn't work for me. It may work for other people. Like, if I make a decision to do something, I'm always going to bring it to my woman, and we're going to have a conversation about it, because she may be able to see an angle that I'm not able to see. And I'm not saying, like she says, I'm wrong, I should or shouldn't, but let's just sit down and have a conversation about it, because the last thing I want is for me to be packing my parachute and I'm packing it wrong, and she just sitting back watching me pack the parachute. Well, I guess he know what he's doing. And I jump out the plane and I pull the chute and it don't open. I don't want that. I like dialogue. I like conversation in the same way that I'm going to do, you know, my woman the same way. If she has an idea, she wants to move forward with something, I'm not going to overrule what she's saying. We're going to have a conversation about it, and she's going to be able to do whatever she wants to do, but we're going to look at it from every angle that we can to make sure that we have the optimal probability of success in whatever we're doing. But that's just me.
Thank you for that. Is there... Because this is about husbands, so I can pull back because women are really interested in hearing what the men have to say. So go ahead.
This is Minister Wilson. I just want to add, without calling the name, I had in a previous marriage, you know, something like that where I used to have my own clothing business where I did custom clothing, and I just had a big deal. So I came in and I was letting my wife know at the time, you know, hey, I can, you know, take care of this bill or that bill, just to say I can pay the most expensive bill or I can pay the whichever. And instead of saying, well, okay, baby, just go on and pay the bill, my wife turned around and said, well, you didn't want to pay the bill anyway. I'm like, but if I didn't want to pay the bill, I wouldn't have said anything because you didn't know I had money. So, you know, that's like, again, challenging, knocking that man down, telling me, well, you're not worried, you're not going to do anything. And I'm like, why would you even have said that? Because, I mean, I could have took this money and went and did something else with it or whatever, sold it off a bread, but I came home to take care of my home, and my first reaction from my wife, well, you didn't want to pay the bill anyway. Well, if I didn't want to pay the bill, I wouldn't have mentioned it, and I sure wouldn't have told you I had the money in order to pay the bill. You know, so, you know, men do certain things, but that's the kind of things that I experiencing it with my friends, and I've had that I know that women have done, their wives or girlfriend, that's what it is, they come off to them, and that's that, go back to the early, that respect or that being disrespectful to that husband, it's just totally just shooting them down, like the brother just said, you just shot me down, now I don't want to pay, we can get put out next week, I don't even care now.
Well, that's interesting, because in our earth, thank you for sharing, and thank you, Minister, for sharing. Because that leads me into our next question, and of course, we're not going to get to all these questions that I have today, but I definitely want to get to this one. How important is your wife's feelings and her input when it comes to making decisions? Because what I'm hearing Earth say is there needs to be this dialogue. But at the end of the day, somebody has to still make a decision.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
We're looking to your leadership. And when we trust your leadership, we will, as Dr. Lamar likes to say, we will submit. And as he says, submit means yield. It doesn't mean stop. We're yielding the right of way. And I like that. But it's all about, can I trust your leadership? And me trusting your leadership is me seeing you seek out my input. So now that's what Earth is saying. He's going to seek his woman's input. But what about the other husbands on the line? Go ahead.
Go ahead. Okay. Yeah, well, I'm going to say, because I have to get off the call real quickly. I have to go into a meeting. This is Neil. Here's what I'm going to say. That's a great point. And that, to me, is the ultimate. I'm single now. I am believing to get my rib back. I'm looking for my rib, meaning that I'm looking for what was created for me by God. And that point I agree with. Communication is paramount. I also believe that I'm going to be the best I can be when that woman comes to my life, because women give life, as the brother said earlier. We don't birth anything. Men don't birth anything. We can get a vision from God and get a seed from God. And when you share that with that woman, women have different skill sets and different abilities, different from a man, that will birth that thing. She'll take that thing, she'll pray on it, she'll chew on it, and then she'll come forth with the answers. There's a perspective that you all have that we don't have. And I really trust that my help me, my wife, my rib, when I get that, that will complete me. In other words, God's going to be able to take me to a whole nother level in terms of understanding, knowing that I have that support system. And I really believe that, yes, they are joint decisions, but I'm going to definitely run it by my wife to get her point of view before I make any final decision.
You can drop the mic, Neil. That was good. And that was excellent.
Neil was on point. But,
all right,
let's
go to our other two husbands.
Neil.
Yes, thank you. What about Minister?
I totally agree with what Neil just said, and in that decision, it goes both ways, because, you know, your wife, just even like she's going out to make a big purchase. You know, my wife, I wasn't saying, you know, your money is my money is your money, or sometimes she say my money is her money, and her money is her money, but I know she's joking. But even if it comes to make a big decision, like they say, go and buy a new furniture, I know that my wife is not going to go out and spend, you know, X amount of dollars on a new living room suit without even calling with that, hey, I'm here at this particular store and I want to get this living room suit, what you think? You know, at least give me the chance to say, yeah, nay, 9 times out of 10, I'm going to say go for it, because, you know, it's all about me making sure that she has what she needs. But I get mine.
You know, I can go shop at Nima's for you, and I can go shop at the thrift store for me because I'm going to look good. I'm going to get mine one way or the other. But the main thing is just making sure. And I always tell these young girls, it's okay. You know, it's not okay. You want that brother. You want that night with an N instead of that night with a K, because that night with a K is going, he's going to take care of his castle. He's going to cover his castle. He's going to protect his castle. That night with the N, he's going to get up in the morning. He's not even going to say good night, good morning, I enjoyed you, whatever, goodbye. He's going to go on about his business. So that's exactly what it is. You know, so that's what the ladies, I tell the young girls, stop looking for that night with the N and get that night with the K, regardless if he works at McDonald's or he's a CEO for a Fortune 500 company. You don't know what that brother's willing to do and sacrifice for you if you give him that opportunity to step up and be that what you want, you know.
I agree with what you're saying. And the thing that I teach is, as women, we don't realize when y'all are planning, because when y'all make a decision, you don't come back and say, this is the decision. And we don't realize when you're planning that you're seeking our input, because it doesn't look like input, because as women, the way that we connect is through talking. So we think you're just talking to us, and we love it when you're asking us questions, because in that moment, we're like, wow, he's valuing my input. So, because I've had women who said, well, he bought a house without saying anything to me, or he made the decision on the house without getting my input. But all along, he had been getting your input, but we weren't aware that he was getting the input, because he was saying, well, how many bedrooms would you like to have? And we think we're just talking, but he's really planning. And that's what that's a part of effective communication. It's like, okay, so I think now it's time for us to make a house purchase, and these are the things that I think are important to you. That's what's missing for us as women, because we want you to have, we want our input, because when you get our input, that says to us you value us, you're interested in us, and it also communicates love to us. Dr. Lamar, what you think?
I think that is a very touchy situation. I think the thing is, wives definitely love to give input, but I'll be honest with you, I'm a wife. At the end of the day, my husband has the final say-so. But the thing about it is, I trust that he'll make a decision that is best. So when my husband makes a decision, you know, I can't bet my life on it, but I'm pretty sure that he's making a decision that is going to be a good one, that is going to, because the ultimate goal is for him to be able to protect and provide for the family. And so when he makes a decision, I know that it's for the betterment for the entire family. But he does come to me. He will, you know, come to me and say, you know, babe, I'm thinking about this. What you think about this? And he has come to me before, and I've given my feedback, and he didn't go along with what I said. But I do trust that he, you know, that he'll make a decision for the family. And so, but that takes trust. You have to be able to trust someone, and that's why I say when you get married, it's almost like, and y'all don't text me or give me emails or nasty messages in my Facebook. When you trust someone, when you're married, it's almost like you're giving them your life, because ultimately your husband can make decisions that could ultimately kill you, and I'm talking about mentally, physically, sexually, or emotionally. When you say, I do, you are giving not your life per se to your husband, but you're entrusting him with your life. And so it's a very serious thing. And so it's very important that you trust your spouse. And when you trust them, then you can trust their decision. So, you know, those are my 10 cents, because it was more than two. So, yeah.
I think we have another caller in the queue. I could be wrong.
We do.
Okay. Do you want to get that caller and let them know we only have 2 minutes, because we're coming to the end of our wonderful show? We're going to have to do this again. As a matter of fact, we're going to repeat this show on Thursday.
Okay, so caller with the last numbers of 9607, state your name, your question, and or your comment.
Good morning. My name is Sabrina, and I want to say I am so happy to be a part of this show this morning, and I'm so grateful to be able to tune in to set great input regarding relationships and marriage.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for tuning in. Good to see you, Miss Sabrina. And
take care.
Oh, I'm sorry. I did have a question. I'm so sorry.
Oh, well, let's go with your question. Yes, ma'am.
Yes. My question is, and I struggle with this myself, to be honest, about the respect piece, and you've had so much great input and feedback, but I look at it a lot of times like this because I would consider myself a strong woman who moved at 18 and was able to provide, but also had a strong father that whatever he said, I could trust. And that trust is a big thing in my relationship now, which I struggle with, you know, possibly considering not investing any more time after almost 18 years because the trust factor. And that's something that I had with my father, and I expect and will need to have that with my husband. I agree with many things you said with just the fact that that's a need, because we do find, to me, when I signed up for marriage, I signed up from losing the protection of my father to now having it with my husband. And that was something that was very detrimental, because I hear a lot of people say that, you know, they're like a roommate. And I would say, no, I didn't sign up for a roommate because I wasn't required to be intimate with my roommate that I had from 18 to 22, and I didn't trust him with my life. And now I signed up for something different, and that requires that. So if at any point it's not shown that I can trust your judgment, trust your say, or that you have my best interest at heart, it sort of makes it hard for me to see being able to trust you with my life. And I always use the correlation of that in the Wild of Lions, and the fact that, and it may seem a little bit crazy, but on Watch the Animal Planet, you see where lions, they fight for territory. And the female usually have to go with that lion that can protect their life. And I see a lot of correlation. It may sound crazy, but at the same time, that's how I view a lot of things. And most women, I would think, will naturally serve their husband if they can respect them and the choices they make. And a lot of times all of those things are in the forefront before people say, I do.
Okay. Thank you so much. We're going to have to I'm sorry, I lost my train of thought. That was an excellent point that needed to be made. And I think that at this point we are down to 3 minutes, and we're not really going to be able to address that in a way that will give you the knowledge that you need. We are having a upcoming workshop on November 21st from 10 to 6 p.m. Check out our website about the upcoming workshop, The Wives, Inc., and there will be information on registration, but that will be covered. How do you restore trust? How do you deal in a marriage when trust is no longer there? I want to take this opportunity to thank our callers and our listeners and our husbands for being on the show. This has been an awesome show. We will repeat this show again this coming Thursday at 8 p.m. I also want to take a moment to let you know that if you need any additional information about us, visit our website, youareworthy.org, and thewivesinc.com. Or you can follow us on Twitter at jdeajackson or at thewivesinc, and like us on Facebook at youareworthy and thewivesinc. I want to thank you for listening to the show. This show is strictly for educational and informational purposes only. It is not therapy and thereby should not be considered a substitute for professional counseling. If you are having difficulties in your life and need to speak with someone, please contact the Behavior Health Hotline at 800-715-4225. That's 800-715-4225. And also we have an upcoming free workshop on Saturday the 12th. So please check us out. Thank you once again for listening to the show. Dr. Lamar.
Thank you all for listening to the show. We'll talk to you or hear from you on Thursday.